All right, let's again, we're in chapter 8, verse 16 this morning. Let me just bring you up to speed. We looked at chapter 8, verses 1 through, actually we're just journeying through 2 Corinthians, but in chapters 8 and 9, Paul's talking about money. The Corinthians had promised to gather in a donation or money towards poor believers in different places that Paul ministered. And so they're doing that. And so in verses 1 through 7 of our study in chapter 8, we looked at the importance of the heart. How it's really all about the heart, the condition of the heart. And then in verses 8 through 15, we talked about the fact that giving is a demonstration of love. When you love somebody, you want to give to them, you want to help them. And so in the same way Paul really talks about that, sort of the encapsulated idea that he has there, that we want to demonstrate our love not by words alone, but by the things that we do. Again, words are cheap sometimes. We need to put some feet to it. And then now in this passage, in verses 16 to 24, we're going to look at the fact that God, when we give our money, we want to make sure it's entrusted into the hands of faithful individuals who are going to manage that. And so Paul's going to talk about the individuals that they've God's really chosen, or they've chosen Paul and the other churches to distribute this money. Very important. So what we're doing really is we're looking at these two chapters. We're sort of gleaning the basic principles regarding these kinds of things. Before I get into that, I'd like to ask you to turn to Philippians. Go to your right. To Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. I want to read a passage, just sort of a quick note. It sort of ties into our study a little bit. Paul's going to, we looked at about the fact that one of the criticisms Paul, the apostle, received was while he was at Corinth, he did not receive any money from the Corinthians. For whatever reason, other churches did give to him. But in chapter 4 of Philippians, look at verse 15. We'll notice that he did receive money from the Philippians. Here's what he says, and I just want to read this and bring up a point that sort of ties in with our previous two studies. So in chapter 4, verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress, or the pressure. The word share means that it helped. Incidentally, if you don't have a Bible and you need one, if you'll hold your hand up, we'd love to give you a copy of the scriptures to follow through with us. Then in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. In other words, they were the only ones that supported Paul on a financial basis and gave to him, helping him. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So when we give towards something and God blesses that fruit, that's result of that ministry, God's going to put it on our account because of our giving, we're enabling someone to serve. So in verse 18, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then in verse 19, a famous verse, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And that verse has been on my mind a lot. It's sort of not really related to our study this morning, but I feel like I need to bring it up. But, you know, that statement that Paul makes, my God shall supply all of our need, it sort of ties back in with our previous two studies. And what he means that we're assuming by that verse that God's provided all of our needs, right? My God will, and God does. So there's only two basic reasons why our needs aren't met. First of all, maybe God is shutting down a door. There's times that God reminded Elijah when he was in a certain place. He was by a brook and the ravens were coming and feeding him. But the Bible says the brook dried up and then Elijah moved on. What my point is, sometimes God actually dries up a source of income because God's trying to get us to go or do something different. God's directing us somewhere else. God will supply our need. Or secondly, because maybe we've mismanaged it. And not done what God wanted us to do with the money that God's given to us. But God will provide our needs. Last week we looked at these first two studies, and I challenge you to commit, to put words to put feet to your words rather, not only to follow Jesus in everything else you do, but certainly in our finances, let him be Lord of all. But also realize this, that there's times that I may mismanage what God's given me. And we talked about the fact that we are stewards, and Paul brings it out in our study here, Paul brings it out here in Philippians. The fact is we're stewards. All we have belongs to God. We're to manage what God's given to us. So my point in this is this. If we give to the Lord faithfully and all of a sudden we're running short, either we're mismanaging the funds or God is simply leading us to do something different or maybe even get a second job or to go in a different direction. I've seen people who made their mind up they're going to go in this direction, and God's not blessing it, and God's drying up and all that, and they need to sort of, you know, you need to discern what God's doing. But there are so many times that we mismanage that, and we just don't use it the way God wants us to use it. So I want to challenge you to, this is so important that you and I see ourselves as stewards, and not just money, everything. Your time. Are you a good steward of the time God's giving you? How are you managing your time? Are you using your time the way you believe God wants you to use it? Because time is a valuable resource. We all have so much of it, right? So I need to be a steward and manage that time, realizing this is God's gift to me. God's given me a certain amount of time. Teach us to number our days. Why? So that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. I want to make sure I manage the time God's given me in the way that He would have it done. And that's true in everything we do. So I just want to point that out to you. And that verse that was on my heart, I encourage you to think about what I said. Just trust the Lord and step out in faith, and He will provide. God's promised that. So go in our study here. Look in verse 16, the idea of faithful men and money. We'll read this passage, verses 16 through 24. Paul says, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation," that exhortation was, "I want you to go and sort of gather the money the Corinthians are gathering up, "but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift." That gift, of course, was the money. "Which is administered by us to the glory of God, Lord himself, and to show your ready mind. Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us. Providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with him our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." In other words, you told us you would give, and so make sure that you're gathering that money up when they come. But I want to point out, this is a very important section in our study, and that is, okay, God's encouraging the Corinthians to do what they promised to do, and that is to get money, to raise money, and to distribute that money as there was needs. There are a lot of different situations they were going through. In 1 Peter, for instance, the church at 1 Peter that he's writing to has been a church that has been dispersed. Caesar commanded all the Jews to leave, and the Christians to leave Rome and leave Italy. And so in 1 Peter, he's referring to these individuals that are just out there. They've lost everything. I'm reminded of the book of Acts, where the early believers began to give away all their possessions and to sell all they hadn't given away, which I think is a little bit immature and overzealous. And so very shortly after, they had financial problems. So now Paul is raising money to send back to the believers in Jerusalem. But my point is, it's one thing to realize that God wants us to give, but it's another thing to make sure that when you give money, you have a responsibility that those you give it to are managing that money correctly. That's very important, because it's ultimately God's. And that's the point. It's God's money. It's not anybody's money but God's. All we have belongs to the Lord. And so Paul now is referring to the individuals that are entrusted with the distribution and the responsibility of carrying this money and distributing it. So he wants to make sure that the Corinthians understand the character, the quality of these individuals, that they're trustworthy. You know, think about what I'm saying. It's not that you just give. Do you know where it's going? Do you know what's going to happen to it? Do you know, is there accountability in these individuals? Or if you give to the church, what is our accountability? What is the responsibility we have to make sure that it's managed properly? I'll share that a little bit today. But I'm just saying that's what Paul's getting into. Because it's not enough that we just give. We have to give to faithful people, individuals that are handling it the way that God wants it to be managed. And that's important. That's why Paul brings this out. That's why he's going into all this. That's why this is a large section just talking about the people that are going to be handling the money and the things about these individuals. So it's very important, you know, that we understand that. And so Paul's bringing that out because he wants them to know that faithful men need to handle the money individuals that are qualified to handle the money and distribute that the way that God wants. Or another way to say that is it's not just that the Corinthians, all they have belongs to God, and so they're giving a part of that. But the individuals that have that are responsible before God to give that as God wants it distributed. Which requires a lot of prayer and oversight and discernment and spiritual, and not only spiritual discernment, but accountability. You know, it's sad sometimes when you just blindly trust people. You know, we should always be skeptical. We should always want to know, because the Bible says Satan himself comes as an angel of light. And so we can't just blindly trust. I've told you all, so many times before, we're just going through the Word. But please understand, I'm responsible to rightly divide the Word of truth, to preach the Word. But you're responsible in some ways to hold me accountable by following along and saying, is what he's saying correct? Are these verses and the application of these verses biblical? Because ultimately, you're going to stand before God, not before me, and give an account of how you manage your life. Does that make sense? So it's important to realize that. God wants all of us to have an awareness of what's going on, to be discerning, to be accurate. That's why this section is important as we think about the qualifications and the things that Paul says about these individuals. And we say to ourselves, what are the principles that Paul's bringing out in our study? If we're going to give money to people or to whatever it may be, what kind of qualifications do they have? How do we know it's going to be dealt with accurately or biblically or the way the Spirit would want them to? That's very important. And it's very important there is accountability. So often we hear about things that go on behind the scenes and all of a sudden, you know, it's sad. And you wonder, like, well, where was the accountability? Where was was anybody checking up on anybody? And the answer, no, I just trust it. We're all sinners, right? I mean, we're saved by the grace of God. But we pray the Lord lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why do we pray that? Because we are subject to being led astray sometimes. All of us are. There's never a time in our lives where we've had this point where I'll never stumble. I'm fine. I'm never going to turn from the Lord. We always have to be on guard. And Jesus told us that again and again and again. That's why there's got to be accountability. You have to have accountability. I've got to have accountability. The church has to have accountability. It's very important when it comes to ministry, particularly in the area of finances. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man of God, flee these things. You know, Paul's saying that. So it's important to realize that. So look at our study here this morning. These passages that we're looking at, first of all, in verses 16 and 17, he points out that Titus is one of the individuals that's going to be responsible for this money. Look what he says in verse 16. He says this, 16 and 17, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus. In other words, Titus cares about you, not your money. He cares about you as a person, as an individual. Then he says in verse 17, for he not only accepted the exhortation, we wanted him to take the money, we wanted him to do this, but in verse 17, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. Paul said, I'd like to do this. Why? Because Paul cared about the people. My point is this, it's not just about money, about dollars, it's about caring for the people. That's sort of, in a way, what our study was last week when we talk about Paul saying, follow through what you said you would do. Why? You said you would give. You said Christ was Lord. Well, show it. Demonstrate that. And one of the ways we demonstrate the love of God is by making sure we give and give freely. But it's not the money. It's you. It's you as an individual that you trust God, that the just shall live by faith. Not just get saved by faith, but we live by faith. We operate by faith. We trust God. We are stewards, and that we need to remember that over and over and over and over again. And we looked at that verse, we've talked about that verse over and over again when it talks in Corinthians about what do you have that you didn't receive. All we have is what God's given to us, whether it's the time in our lives, whether it's our health or our physical characteristics or our ability to make money or the blessing of God upon our lives, or God's the one that gave us the building or the money that comes into the church. God's done all that. So the answer is, what do we have? And if we received it from God, then we've got to manage it. So that's my point in all this. So what Paul is saying there, Titus is a man who cares about you, Corinthians. He's not about money. His focus isn't money. He doesn't want us to get a hold of the money. He wants to see you following Christ. He wants you to see you faithful to what you said you would do. He wants to see you growing and maturing in the Lord. Titus has a vested interest in you. My point is this. The individuals who handle the money have to have a vested interest in the people that are giving. You're not just a number. You're not just some person that is, you know, some whatever, a face. You're an individual, and you're following Christ. And you're giving because God wants you to, because it's God's will, because God has given to you. And so life has got to be more than just giving money. Sometimes you go to certain churches, and now that's all they do is talk about money, 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 money. Every, you know, day in, day out, you know. They talk about raising money and passing the offering plate. Nothing wrong with that per se, but there's such a focus on it. You know, and why? Why is there a focus? Now, we're talking about the passage. We're going through 2 Corinthians, so it's about that passage. But if you've been here a long time, you know, we hardly ever talk about money. Why? Very simply, we believe God will provide. We're not looking to you to provide. God will provide for us. And we just trust God will provide. He always has. So I'm just saying that in reference to, in verse 16 and 17, this individual cared about the people. So my point is, again, if you feel like that people don't care about you, you shouldn't be giving. Or they're not really concerned about individual people. In other words, if it's like all about the money, well, you need to find another place to give. And that's what Paul's saying. Titus cares about you, your spiritual walk, your commitment to Christ, how God's doing. Titus was bonded and connected to the people. That's what Paul is saying. Now let me just point out something else about this verses 16 and 17 that's interesting to me, and that is this. You see, some people have no problem not being tempted when it's a small amount. But when it's a big amount, they have a problem. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, like, I just glanced at it, but I really don't ever look at it. But the jackpot is like, what is it, $1.2 billion or something like that? Or I forgot what it is. And it's like, I shouldn't have said that. I'll be going out and buying tickets. No. But remember, he that hasteneth to be rich will fall into many snares and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. So don't hasten to be rich. Somebody told me a couple weeks ago, if we win the lottery, we'll give 10% to the church. That'd be nice. No, just kidding you. But I'm only saying that because what are you about? What are we about? We're about the kingdom of God. We're not about money. Now, God will provide. We need to manage that. But Paul is saying that in regards to the individuals handling the money, they care about you. So, and these individuals or individuals that we trust is not going to be overwhelmed by the fact that you're giving a lot. Paul's going to mention that later on. Because it was a sizable amount. Secondly, look in verses 18 and 19. They were approved by many people. They weren't just Paul's favorites. Or, hey guys, let's get in a little club here and we'll handle all the money. What do you think? You know. Look in verse 18. He says this. And we have sent him with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout the churches. He has a reputation. Here's another brother. Not just Titus, but another brother who has this reputation among all the churches. His praise is in the gospel. He's been faithful in much. He's been faithful in many things. Jesus taught us that if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful over much. But but Jesus said if you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who's going to entrust in your hands the kingdom of God? So Paul is saying this individual that he's referring to here has a reputation as a faithful person in the gospel. And far more than just money. In the preaching of the word, in the ministry of the word, in his Christian responsibilities, in his family, in his home. I'm reminded of one of the qualifications of an elder. The Bible says if you can't manage your own family, how can you take care of the church of God? So you got to be able to manage your own home. You got to be able to manage your own family. You got to be faithful in the things that God's called you to do or you're doing. And you have to have this reputation or this confidence of the people. And that's what he's saying in verse 17, or 18. And not only, look in verse 19. Not only that, but he was also chosen by the churches. The churches, as Paul's saying, I didn't pick this guy, the churches did. This guy's well known, he's got a reputation, it was a general consensus. That's why every year we have a, you know, rotating board of elders. And one of the things we do every year, you know, the elders pick guys that we believe serve as an elder, and then we give it out to the church. We let the church know about this, And then we want a feedback. If there's any concerns or any problems or any whatever it may be, we want to know that. Well, it's the same principle. If someone's going to tell the church, they've got to have a general connection with and approval of the body. Why? It's just common sense. In the same way, Paul is saying this individual has a reputation from the other churches as a faithful person. And the churches have chosen this guy to go with me, to take this money, or go with Titus and get this money. So it's not just me doing this. It's not just an individual doing this. There's a group of people involved in this. There are churches involved in this. And that's important that we realize that. So that there's accountability, there's some kind of responsibility, there's faithfulness. If an individual's got a problem with covetousness, if an individual has a problem with finances, for instance, we never ordain an elder or a deacon that doesn't faithfully give. You know, we make sure they're giving. If they don't give, then how can they, you know, manage the church? It's important. It's one of the qualifications that we have. But why? Because it's just common sense. We don't make sure a person's committed and supportive and responsible. So in a lot of areas, my point in saying that is this is the kind of individuals that Paul is saying are going to handle the money that you guys give. What Paul is doing is building up confidence in the Corinthians that the money they bring, the money they give, that is really, you know, a challenge in some ways to these individuals. Look, if you will, in chapter 8, the first part of chapter 8 about the Macedonians. Macedonians verses 1 through 3, I think it is. And it talks about the sacrifice they made to bring the money. In other words, if they've sacrificed this much to give the money, we don't want it wasted on unfaithful people. We don't want someone to blow it on things that are unnecessary or God's not in. So in chapter 8, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And they're the example Paul's bringing up to the Corinthians. "That in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Verse 3. "For I bear witness that according to their ability," yes, "and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us," verse 4, "with much urgency that we should receive the gift," this money that they brought up. What is my point? He's saying this, that these guys have sacrificed an enormous amount to give out of their deep poverty. The abundance of their liberality was like, wow, these guys are struggling in their finances and yet they're giving. And Paul is saying, look at the example that they're doing. It reminds me of Jesus standing there in the temple one day and he saw this rich guy come up and put a lot of money into the offering box. And then this poor widow came up and gave up just two mites. And Jesus said, "Do you see that rich man?" He said, "He gave of his abundance." In other words, he gave and he doesn't even know he's given. He's got so much. But this poor widow has given two mites, which is all she had. And Jesus said, "This woman has given more than this rich guy." God doesn't count it in dollars. God counts it in the heart, the attitude. So it's the same kind of attitude here. He's talking about the Macedonians and they gave. The point is we want to make sure that the individuals that are using this or are responsible for this money are faithful men that have general approval of the people. That's what he's saying here in verses 18 and 19. "Not only that, but they who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind." God's going to be glorified as we distribute that money and individuals are hurting and they're in need. That's very, very important. So approved by many. Then also look in verses 20 and 21, above reproach. Verse 20 and 21 says, "Providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord but also in the sight of men." Verse 20. "Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us." Let me just read you the Jerusalem Bible's translation. I like the way it's written. It's clearer. Here's what he said. "We hope that in this way, there will be no accusations made about our administering such a large fund." In other words, we want to make sure that what we do and the way we do it does not bring problems or people are questioning. There, it's above reproach. As we need to be careful that we live in a way that we don't have any justifiably people pointing fingers at us. It doesn't mean that people won't accuse us of things from time to time, but we need to live above reproach. That's very important. And Paul makes that very clear in his thing. Look what he says in verse 20. He says, or verse 21, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord. In other words, we're going to answer before God. We want to make sure we have a clear conscience that we're taking this money and distributing as the Lord wants. We want to please God and glorify God by doing this. But he says in verse 21, but also in the sight of men. You know, we want to make sure that it's above reproach, that as best we can, we do what we do in order that we won't be questioned, we won't be challenged. That's why as a church, you know, let me just share the church. Okay, every year in the fall, I usually submit the budget for the next year to the elders for their approval. They have to sign out on it. And so they pray over it. They look at it. I go through through our budget, what we do, what we're bringing, what we're projecting. And normally our budget's based upon the previous year. In other words, here's what we brought in this year. We're thinking that's what we're going to bring in next year approximately. And so we make the budget based upon that. Our budget is a good deal lower than what we think we'll bring in. We try to do that. If there's anything that's not in the budget, for instance, we're redoing the kitchen. You know, it's pretty expensive to redo the kitchen. We're going to because it's sort of archaic in a way. But that was not in the budget. So anything, actually, I have the freedom as a pastor to make decisions up to $5,000. Anything more than that, I've got to go to the board. Well, the redoing of the kitchen, I told the elders, I don't know what it's going to cost. Something in the neighborhood of $100,000. But it's not in our budget. But I want to make sure that you guys are aware of that so that when we finally get to the final thing before we start, we want to go to you guys and say, here's what it's going to cost. We want to redo our kitchen, tear out the cabinet, da 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 da. Because it's not in the budget because we're not sure what it cost. And so 3 weeks ago, I sent the budget, the amount to the elders, and they approved it. Now, and my point in all that is there's accountability. There's responsibility. I'm held accountable. And so every person in the church, they've got a budget. Pastor Jonathan has a youth budget or whatever it may be. The children's ministry has a budget. Everybody's got a budget. And we try to set that budget based upon what they believe they're going to spend. And they go through that whole process of finding out, what are you going to spend? What are you going to do with that money? What's your plans for the next year? You submit that budget. It's not a law. It's a guideline. We just have guidelines. In the same way you do, hopefully, I've challenged you, live on a budget. I believe God wants us to live on a budget. I've always believed that. As a matter of fact, personally, in our journey, we early on in our marriage, we didn't have hardly anything. There was a period of time. And so we lived off, you know, very little. I thank God for that because it taught us to do without. It taught us to be, you know, sort of tight. Wife calls me cheap, but it's really more tight, frugal. But the Bible says, as money increases, don't set your heart on it. My point is, if you live on a budget, then that you sort of have an idea of what you're doing. It takes responsibility to plan that budget and to think about your expenses and what it's going to cost me to live. That's important. Live on a budget. The church lives on a budget. And we live on the budget. And we, you know, this money for the, you know, for the kitchen, you know, God has blessed us and provided for us, and we have no debt. The building's paid off. I want to encourage you, pay your house off. Pay your credit cards off. Pay your cars off. Get out of debt. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. That's important. I just think if it's not a matter of, and let me say this right here, it's important too. It's not a matter of how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. The answer is not more money. The answer is just managing what you have with the assumption that God will provide for us, that God has supplied what I need to live. I assume that based upon Scripture, many places in Scripture. And so if God's going to provide, then I've got to manage it to make sure that what I do and how I spend it is the way He wants it to done. But I've always encouraged people, live off less than you make. Just make it a habit. I remember when Don and I came up here to Lawrenceville and bought our house, I remember going to the bank and I said, look, I want to pay my house off in 5 years. I said, we put a lot of money down on it. We put every dime we had down on that we made in our other house as we moved from Macon up here. We put every dime in that. I said, I want to know how much I had I couldn't afford much. And so I remember going to the bank and saying, you know, I got to know how much money I can borrow so that my payments every month are $400. Now, I hope you don't mind me being a little personal here. And and she said, well, here, well, let me figure that out. So she's figuring out. She says, okay, here, including principal and interest, here's how much money you can borrow. I said, well, that's what I want to borrow. And so I did that. And so I borrowed that money. We built our house with it. I had a five-year plan. I told my wife, I said, we're going to, I went to the bank one day, said, I want to pay my house off in 5 years. Can you tell me how much I've got to put extra every month to pay my house in 5 years? She said, that's crazy. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what about your tax write-off? I said, ma'am, if I'm paying, you know, $10,000 to my house and I can write off $5,000, I've still lost $5,000. I said, I want to pay my house off and I don't have any house note. Then I don't have to worry about that anymore. I hate worrying about money. That's one of my motives, as well as making sure my wife's okay. So I you know, that she told me, here's what I need to do every month to pay the house off in 5 years. So, and let me say this, committing to pay things off is important, but it's up to God to do that. You're not in control. You see my point? Commit to getting out of debt. Owe no man anything but to love one another, the Bible says. And so if you commit to doing that, then it's up to the Lord. But here's the deal. If you're living in frugally, then whatever God brings in, I've already got a plan. I've got a responsibility. And that's what I did. And so God worked and moved. Actually, it only took us 2.5 years to pay our house off. And so, you know, that was a long time. I was 33 years old. I'm only saying that because I never made a whole lot of money. But we just need to be faithful to what God's called us to do. And we can do this. It's like a whole new mentality. It's like, I've never thought about that. I didn't plan on that. Well, when my wife and I got married, our plans were to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Now we did. We had to borrow to buy our first house, and God helped us with that. But our whole goal is to get out of debt. I'm only saying that in relationship to, I want to make sure the church is the same way. That we don't have debt. Why would we have debt? I think the building and property, about 22 acres, is worth about $3.5-4 million. I forgot what. You know, it's just a place. And God can take it away in a second. I'm only saying that in challenging you to make sure that you're doing what God's watching us, but also other people. And we need to be responsible to people and making sure, well, whatever we do is above reproach, that people aren't questioning, whatever it may be. It's important for us that we are above reproach. Then also, look, if you will, in verse 22. Faithful in things other than just money. Look what he says in verse 22. And we have sent with our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things. So again, as sort of tying in with what we said earlier, they're faithful in many other things, not just the handling of money, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence we have in you. We sort of talked about that. And that was this personal interest. In verse 22. It says, because of the great confidence which we have in you, let me read you the Phillips Modern English. It translates it, whose interest is especially aroused on this occasion as he has such confidence in you. He's interested in helping because he's got confidence. It's the same thing that he said about Timothy. It's not about money. It's about people. And there's a connection with the people. There's a responsibility for the people. We're here to love the people and serve the people and minister to the people. We're all about giving. We're not about taking. You know, sometimes you go into churches and you feel like you get this sense that God's broke and his kingdom's going under any moment now. And you don't give, it's all going to sink, you know. It's sad. God's not broke. I'm always saying that in light of the fact that you and I need to realize what God wants is our hearts and our lives. And everything we have belongs to him. And we need to manage it as stewards. We need to see what we have as stewards. And that's so important. And so we have to have this personal interest in what we're doing. That's why when we looked at last year, the elders felt a burden about the hurricanes. The hurricane hit South Florida. We wanted to give towards that. And I remember going to the elders and saying, guys, would y'all pray about what we should give? And all of them said, we need to give 10% of our savings. And that was $450,000 in our savings, so $45,000. And so we said, okay. Where are we going to give? We prayed about it. We said, if anybody in the church has been burdened about this and is willing to go down there for a while and connect with the people that are hurting and find out where to give it. But no one sensed that strongly. So we ended up, you know, giving it to Samaritan's Purse because they were going down there. They had people going and living down there and administering that money and connecting with the people. They're not just, we've looked at their ministry for years and how they do things and how much that you give goes down there. It's important that we feel confident that it's not going down there and just giving a bunch of money, but finding where are the needs? Where are the people hurting at? Where can we make the most impact for the kingdom of God? Why? Because they have a vested interest as they're connecting with the people, which we couldn't really do. But we need to connect with people. We need to connect with you individually, but also people that we're going to serve as best we can. So that's the point I'm trying to make in our study here. And then finally, looking at verses 23 and 24, they were associated, these individuals that are going are associated with faithful men. If anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. In other words, I trust Titus enough to let him serve with me. He's a part of my ministry. Now that said a lot to the Corinthians. They knew Paul. They knew his life. They had seen him. They'd seen his first letter and his love for them, even though it was a very harsh letter. They knew that Paul cared about them. And so, man, if Paul cares about us and Titus is his associate, then it builds confidence. And then he also says, he says, of our brethren are inquired about, these other brethren that go, they are the messengers. Literally is the Greek word apostolos, apostles. They're apostles of the churches to the glory of God. They're individuals the church are sending out. An apostle is just a missionary, someone sent out. The word apostle means sent out. They are messengers of the churches. They're sent out by the churches. They're missionaries, basically, and we're giving this money. They're faithful in all these other ministries and things they've done, and so they're going down there. They'd like to be involved in this. And the church say, we want these people to go. They're messengers or they're apostles of the churches. And so they're qualified to do this. They're godly men. Paul's doing all that he can to make sure that the Corinthians are comfortable and confident. We have an outside firm that looks at our budget and looks at our money every quarter to make sure that everything's above board. Outside, you know, a firm to make sure. You know, every quarter I get a report. Here's what their how much money came in. Here's, you know, everybody, we look at all of them. I'm just saying because there's accountability. There's layers of accountability. There's responsibility. And that responsibility is important because it's not our money. It's not your money. It's the Lord's money. And we are going to one day stand before God and give an account of what we've done and how we've done it. It's not just what we've done, but how we've done it. The means by which we've done it. I heard a while back, a few years ago, about a church, and they had a guy that did their funds. Apparently, after about a while, they realized there was $1 million missing. And I'm thinking, how can you not check up on, why do you put, don't ever trust people. And I say that carefully. Think what I'm saying. You just don't blindly trust people. You always have to have accountability in our lives. I've got accountability to the elders. If I get off in left field, start going on left field, they'll let me go. They'll fire me. I'll be out of here in a second. I hope. I better. Why? Because I'm accountable. There's accountability. And that's so important in all of our lives. That we all have accountability, that we're not just independent people doing whatever we want. We are servants, servants of the Lord. We have a responsibility before God and before people. As much as lies within me, we need to live peace with all. We need to be above reproach. We don't need to do anything that's questionable. And if people are questioning, as Paul said, if anyone's inquiring of Titus, who's this guy? Well, let him know. Or what's our budget this year? Well, I'll tell you. Where's the money go? Well, I'll show you. You know, you have a responsibility or a right to that information if you want to know. I'm just saying, well, what is our budget for this? I mean, it's important because there's accountability and we need to make sure we're handling things the way God wants to handle things. So I'm just saying that regarding you, wherever you give, make sure that you're confident that money is being used the way God wants it to be used. That there's prayers, there's legitimate needs. There's things that are important to people, or there's things that you've prayed about, talked about, thought about, brought before the Lord, brought before the board, let the elders pray about, let the church, whatever it may be. And God will guide us. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we close our study, thank you again as this section is so important to us regarding not just the encouragement that you've given us in the first two sections about giving, but more than that, that we need to make sure that the money's handled responsibly. That as believers, we're not just giving our money to somebody we don't know or to something we don't know about, that we need to make sure that the things used are used for the glory of God, the kingdom of God, the needs of the church or the needs of the people, the needs of the community, wherever it might be that the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. Father, we thank you that you have provided all of our need. You have blessed us in so many ways. But may we always realize that all that we have can be gone just like that. We don't put our heart on money. We don't put our affections below. Our affections are above where Christ sits, on you, on the things of the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom of God. You'll take care of the rest. But I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to recognize the fact that you have blessed us and you have provided for us, and the people in our fellowship are very giving and generous people. And we're so thankful for that. And I praise you for that. Because, Lord, you are a generous God and you've blessed us. And we want to make sure that we're handling it. That's why we got out of debt. We paid the building off. But why? Because we don't believe it's your will that we be in debt more than we need to. And so we just got that thing paid off. And so I thank you for that. And we just pray that you would help us as individuals, as families, to be responsible, to have that goal in our lives, to get out of debt and making sure that my spending is in control. I think of the federal government, how it's out of control. It's just sad. It's just absolute. It breaks your heart. We have so much. And all we have apparently is not enough. It's that lust for other things in the government or individually even. So I want to pray for all of us that we would learn in whatever state to be content with what we have and to live on a budget and to stick with that budget. And if the Bible says, if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Don't start focusing on that. Keep your heart on the kingdom and the Lord and just manage the funds as God would have you to manage it. And I pray that we would do that. And we just want to continue to pray. Lord, you are blessing our fellowship. The church is growing. And I think at some point we're going to have to think about, doing something different, because we just thank you for that. We just want to pray that and trust that you will, that our goal would be never to have to borrow again. And we just pray that you would enable us as a church to always be in that position and being able to make sure that what we do, we pay for it cash. And we manage that and we plan for that and we think about that. It's not a matter of just spending what we have. It's a matter about planning for the future. Seeing, well, Lord, what are you saying to us? I pray for the elders. I pray for Dan and Greg, and I pray for Jed. I pray for these men. I pray for the other men that you'll raise up this fall. I just pray in the name of Jesus that we would be men of prayer. We would seek your face, and we would say, Lord, we have a heavy responsibility to manage what comes into the church the way that we believe you would have us to manage it. And it's not a matter. I hope and I pray that we would manage the church the same way we manage our own homes. That we would have the same basic principles. And I just ask your blessing. I do pray for all of us here. I do know there's times that people are under a tremendous load. I'm reminded of Paul's admonition to the Corinthians. Look, there's times that your generosity helps relieve and helps help people that are burdened and weighted down because they're struggling. But there are others that are struggling simply because they're mismanaging things and not spending it the way you would have them to spend it. So I just pray that you would guide and direct us and lead us. Thank you for your amazing gift. Lord, not money, but Jesus. Lord, our heart, our affection, our pursuit is of Christ. And we praise you for that. And I pray we'd manage whether it's the individual funds we have or whether it's the time or the different ministries and all we have, that we would do it and manage it the way we believe the best we can, the way you would have it done. And I know there's different opinions about different things in all kinds of matters, certainly in any church, but we just want to know that we'll one day stand before you and give an account, and we want to do the best we can to have a clear conscience in every area. Protect us. Protect us from anything that would disrupt all that, Lord. Put a hedge around us and individuals that may have wrong hearts. Protect us from that, Lord, because we're just individuals just wanting to follow Jesus. And may you be glorified in Christ's precious name. All God's people said, amen.